Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC. Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to another Monday mini, and this one is going to be a little bit of a heavy one, so I want to go ahead and put that as a content warning at the top. We have been talking a lot about what is happening with Roe v. Wade, and hopefully you have had a chance to listen to our recent episode with the wonderful Melita Easters about what is happening with the possibility of the overturning of Roe v. Wade, which go ahead and put this as a timestamp because things change quickly and voting is supposed to be happening this week. So who knows? By the time this comes out, we may be in different type of shambles. Who knows? So it is May 10th and we are talking about a lot. And again, this content warning is because it is a heavy topic. It is very personal to me as an adoptee. And so if we have any adopted listeners here or people who have gone through the adoption system, whether they have put a child in the adoption system or any of that, this could be triggering. So be forewarned. There you go. But I did want to take a minute to address a statement that was in the brief that was leaked about the ruling of possibly overturning Roe v. Wade. Before I start, Annie, do you have anything to add? Because I have a feeling I'm just going to run through this so hard with a lot of emotion that you're going to sit quietly because you're so supportive in all of this for me, but also being like, I'm going to give you room. So before we start, do you have anything to say?
I might think of something, but I'm very, again, just appreciate you being so open. And it has been like, so much conversation happening and so much of it very uninformed and ignorant and damaging.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's that big statement is it is very damaging and people do not realize the power of words and how harmful it is. And to have it written on a constitutional level that is a guidance and rule of law for the country that I live in is really offensive.
Yeah.
And really, really traumatizing. I'm not going to lie. Went through a therapy session. Had a really hard therapy session, by the way. And part of this was this conversation specifically. But what I'm referring to is a statement that was an obvious contribution from Justice Amy Coney Barrett, who made a similar statement during her confirmation hearing that is now in this leaked briefing, which pretty much talks about the safe haven law as well as adopting children. In this briefing, it says, if you've had the chance to read it, I'm sorry, because I was traumatized by it. So to anyone else who's had to read it or gone through it as well, Yeah, we love you. So sorry. I hope you are able to take a deep breath and take a moment. On page 34, it talks about the arguments made that women have more freedom now and are protected by law from discrimination, and that with safe haven laws and adoption, children are safe and, quote, has little reason to fear that the baby will not find a suitable home, and that the adoption supporters are fearful of losing autonomy and, quote, unable to compete with men in the workplace and other endeavors. We'd put this in our previous episode, but I felt this was the most demeaning like statement. I was like, wow, competing with men. Okay, cool, cool, cool. All right, cool. Because each has good arguments, each side. Decisions should be left to the states. So this is the beginning that we understand why he's like, we need to overturn this. And this is why it's illegal or unconstitutional, rather. But it's obvious from this really privileged, I mean, it feels like I'm in the early mid-19th centuries with this statement about how ignorant it is and how dismissive it is in general. It reeks of white privilege. It reeks of upper class privilege that I hate. And yeah, obviously I have a lot of thoughts. And again, thank you for giving me the space, to you as a listener who is listening, as well as Annie, my friend, who was like, I have to talk about this immediately. And you're like, okay.
Let's do it. Yeah.
I cannot express how triggering and how dismissive this idea is, not only for adoptees like myself, but for those who have placed a child for adoption or have felt discriminated against so often and recently due to the possibility of even being pregnant. So let's start. And I try to write these things down, y'all, because this is what we do. This is how Annie has prepared me, because she is more of a professional on this. By writing it down, I'm going to go on tangents. If I sound emotional, get over it, because it is emotional for me. This is not about just rights. This is about people who are able to get pregnant, their lives, as well as those who are given, who are birthed. And it's more traumatic than you think. First, the argument of just put them up for adoption, which is such a loud rhetoric that it's become a joke. It has become almost a tagline to any anti-choice protest, and it's demeaning. Let's talk about how often people joke about their siblings being adopted and how obviously that's supposed to be an insult. So for myself, who grew up hearing this, feeling this very heaviness of like, okay, yeah, I am a joke to begin with. My existence is apparently a joke. And I should be ashamed of my status when I'm also being told, be grateful, do better. Let's put into that also that how pro-lifers have forgotten the pure trauma and overwhelming amount of emotional and physical labor it takes for a person to be pregnant. Perhaps partially because a big majority of these supporters do not have a uterus and have no clue what it could possibly entail. And I say this as a person that I've never been pregnant that I know of. But do I have a uterus, and have I gone through the awful period pains of trying to prepare my body supposedly for a child? Yes. And is it painful? It is so painful that I would be on the floor in tears trying to wait out the week period of the week's period. And I'm not meaning the actual period, but like the time frame, I guess, of passing the blood clots, which were oftentimes the size of golf balls that was trying to be expelled out of my body, and how painful that was. Just recently, a new study found that it's aligned to having a heart attack.
That's what
men have been like, what? Men who have actually been listening and believe science were like, really? Is it really that bad? Yes. Yes, it's really that bad.
Yeah.
And just the overall process, and that doesn't include, that's if you're somewhat healthy. And I say somewhat healthy because apparently that's not the norm. And because we're told to be quiet and not talk about it, we don't know what's the norm. A healthy time of the month is, but on top of that, those who have gone through so many painful cysts and uterine problems, there are so many things that are so dangerous. This also does not include us trying to go through birth control, not because we're not necessarily preventing childbirth, but we're actually trying to help the symptoms that are so painful, it takes us out. Mm-hmm. I can't even tell you, like, I was prescribed birth control way before I started having sex to try to ease my pain and the flow and all of that.
Me too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Tennessee just sounds perfect, whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect. So there's so many things to this that I know our listeners, they know. Mm-hmm. I know y'all know. But just trying to remind the world, if someone new is catching on about why we're so upset and angry, this is part of this. Which, adding on to that, the new laws that are happening around the country, which I think is strategic, because they want to make the most extreme laws. So when they lessen it to just not abortion, it seems reasonable. So
right.
I'm wondering because right now different states are talking about outlawing IUDs, outlawing specific birth control, so many things.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of all that, we know the system in itself, when it comes to adoption, when it comes to reproduction, when it comes to women's health, and we're not talking about abortion, but abortion is healthcare. We're going to go with that. But we're talking about women's health, just being able to check and see what's wrong with their bodies. If it is abnormally, it's like, if we don't have to suffer this pain, it shouldn't be suffering this pain, mm-hmm. As well as the fact that the system for the children, it is corrupt and dismissive, and oftentimes placed at the bottom of people's priorities. We know this. I know this. I've seen this. I've been in this. And let's talk about the children. As of September of 2020, the Adoption and Foster Care Analysis and Reporting System showed that over 400,000 children are currently in foster care programs with minimal assistance. And every year, it seems that the budget gets cut even more, including pay for workers who are being demonized. Do I think this system works? No. Do I think the system is bad? Yes. In every level, yes. Do I think the people who come into this position come in thinking that they're going to be the demons that they're being called out to be? No. Mm-hmm. I really came in thinking that I was saving children and hoping to save children. I'm not talking about saving babies. I'm talking about the children that come into this foster care or come into the system and come into a home or taken out of a home without actually getting assistance for the homes. Whole different conversation. But we don't see that. We see the middle men or the bottom men, slash, and I say this men, people being blamed for everything because we don't know where else to blame. And because the system is made up that way, so that the people who are profiting off of this are hidden nicely in the background. And yes, people are profiting off of this. And I'm not talking about foster parents either. So within that number, at least 20,000 kids age out without family and support. When I say age out, they means at the age of 18, any child in the United States can write themselves out, essentially, of foster care, so they're no longer a part of the government's system. And many children do this because they're tired. They have been screwed over by the system for so long. They've been passed around that all they think that they need is autonomy without understanding they are not prepared for adulthood and have no support. Now, if they do sign themselves back into care, meaning they decide to stay within the system until they're 21, they can and they can get more assistance. However, much like the system that has been set up when it comes to depending on nonprofits or church-related things, you have to abide by their rules and be kicked out for any reason, which is unreasonable, in my opinion. And they can choose to sign themselves out at any point in time. So even then, let's say they do the perfect thing and continue on at the age of 21, they literally are dropped again. 21, I think we've already established, they are not truly adults. They're being called adults and they're being prosecuted like adults and they're being told they can have responsibilities and should act as an adult, but they've not been prepared to be adults. Mm-hmm. I don't think I hit that until my mid-30s, Annie.
Yeah.
I'm here now. I'm doing adulting things and I'm panicking.
Yeah. A couple years ago before the pandemic, we were at an office party and our wonderful office manager called me an adult. And I literally had a moment of like, oh no, she's right.
Exactly. So let's talk about those numbers. There are so many things. I've been going through this system. I've been working in this system for years, and it is set up so people will fail. And I say this not because that's what the workers want. And I know there are bad workers out there. I know they have bad intent, but truly, this is where they think they are doing something different. I really tried my damnedest and saw it going nowhere. And the people who truly try without falling into the trap of just giving up and getting the money, which by the way, $29,000 to $35,000 a year is not a lot for whoever wants to know.
Right.
The max that I've seen within the system that for workers are maybe $35,000 a year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they just finally give up and they just hope that they can survive and they go through forgetting about what they're doing it for. And those mm-hmm. who don't can't forget it. And I say can't because I had nightmares until I left. We quit because we know it's bad. We know the system is bad. And honestly, it was because of the system I became left-leaning mm-hmm. when I worked in the system. These kids are given up on so quickly. And because they're not the perfect kids, which is one of the biggest misconceptions ever, this whole lie that you're saving a child and they're going to be eternally grateful and change their ways for you is a whole load of bullshit, and you need to stop with that. These are broken people coming in, being completely lied to and betrayed repeatedly throughout their lives. And then you think because you were nice to them that they're going to change their life for you. No, that's not how that works. It takes years of work to undo the trauma that happens to these kids. And because people are not faced with the reality of what that looks like, they give up on these children and become one more person that has betrayed them. Mm-hmm. Just a reminder, if you do this, going into a foster, and this is what I've scared off so many potential foster parents because I could not allow for these people who came in with these rose-colored glasses thinking they're saving someone and not realizing they're probably going to steal from you. They're going to take things away from you. They're probably going to bully your own biological kids to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. It's not pretty. And there are reasons for that. And if you can't accept that, then don't do this because you don't need to be one more person that builds on their trauma. Mm-hmm. And I will tell anyone and everyone this. If you're planning to foster, make sure you understand what you're getting into. On top of that, the system does not work for the biological families. They do not care to keep families together. I've seen it. Do individuals? Yes. Are there individuals who will fight for it? Yes. Have I been one of those workers? Yes. The judge that I had that I worked with when I first started working in the foster care system / child abuse services was an amazing judge who understood this, who understood how important it is to keep family together if possible, and that poverty and economics and racism comes into play when it comes to the system. And so I was able to experience some good things, but it's not how it goes most of the time. Because our judicial system is f***ed As we can see. As we can see. As we can see.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Tennessee just sounds perfect, whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. Not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
So, this whole alternative attitude towards adoption, it doesn't work. It's not working. The foster care system is not working. So until that is fixed, and I'm not even talking about the fact that the anti-LGBTQ adoption bills have been passed in so many places. What the hell? I thought this was about the children. Like this, again, with that, recently, on top of that, and I missed this somehow, and I don't know how I missed this, they have pretty much attributed children as commodities. Literally, it said within a domestic supply of infants. That was taken out of that, meaning that abortion is affecting babies, the commodity of babies to be given out or sold. This is human trafficking. Like, I'm really baffled by the right, this extreme conservative ideal of human trafficking, and not realizing this is human trafficking, forcing people to have children so they can be adopted. Are you freaking kidding me? This is literally human trafficking. Like, you're buying babies and forcing a person to go through some of the most traumatic events, and oftentimes it is not covered. So going into thousands of dollars of debt by a healthcare system does not provide for those who are giving birth. What? So I am beyond angry. Now, the reason I am so affected, yes, I'm adoptee, but growing up hearing my entire life that I should be grateful that someone saved me and that I could have died, that I could have been dead or a prostitute, which we talked about in a recent episode, has always haunted me. To have this narrative in the Constitution is literally that kind of spewing bullshit that adoptees have to hear for the rest of their life. And for people not to figure out how damaging that is insulting. And I know many people have not heard this. I know we hear the bigger picture. Social media has allowed for the fact that we are able to express these pains and this rhetoric being so damaging. And I'm grateful for that. But it's not talked about enough because this type of BS continues to come out with this white knight type of principle that has come out for so long. This is also why colonization is a huge-ass problem, and that's why it needs to be talked about and called what it is. This is colonization of the poor people, essentially. if you want to, or for those who cannot do this, who cannot do this, who cannot afford this. And by the way, the amount of money that is given by federal and state level, I tried to break it down and I was like, oh, we must have so many more grants because this is not possible. It essentially goes down to like $1,700 a year per kid. And I was like, no, that's not possible.
Yeah.
And it's not. But that's the level of money that's given. And then you have to raise the rest of the money through grants and all these things and funding. That doesn't make sense. I have been so sickened by this entire conversation. And then the amount of people who continue to spew this adoption thing to the point where people say, would you rather not be here? And I was like, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't care. And the one thing we know, even though I'm grateful to be here, someone would have taken this mantle. And I'm okay with that. The deaths that I've seen in the young children, it may sound very harsh. Not that I didn't want them to exist, but they shouldn't have had to go through that hard life. And that's not okay. The amount of rhetoric that is happening here that continues to push this onto marginalized communities as their responsibility is the problem, is a huge problem. You don't care about this these children. For you to make a blanket statement saying has little reason to fear that the baby will not find a suitable home, there's a reason we have over 400,000 children in the United States who are in the system. There's a reason why we have one of the highest amount of people in poverty. The level of people in poverty in the United States is unreal. It shouldn't be. Not with us being considered one of the richest countries still. That is a problem. So that statement is insulting to anyone with a brain. This whole statement of there's little reason to fear that the baby will not find a suitable home. Actually, the highest numbers of children in the foster care system are 6 and younger. And that includes infants and toddlers and up. I thought they would be older. They are not. So that is, again, completely bull. That's not historically correct. That is not scientific. Like, that is not from data. He just assumed it. And it is insulting. It's insulting for those who have been working, who seek to do better, who seek to push to be better in this world by truly being pro-life and hoping to help life and improve life. And as someone who had that help, and I am very grateful, doesn't mean this trauma isn't real and doesn't mean I'm trying to undo all that trauma because of this narrative. I'm trying to keep less angry.
You have every reason to be angry.
But there's so much, of course, I could keep saying. And to be fair, like, I had to stop because I was getting emotional when I was writing it. But this is one of those things that I'm preparing myself for debate. Like, I say to myself, you know, when those pretend arguments that you have, this is one of those. Because I've heard it. I've heard it from the people that I love the most, that I'm supposed to trust. That's part of the problem. And for all of you who are stuck with me through this entire angry rant, thank you. And for any time that you have to deal with people who are anti-choice and bringing in this argument, please feel free to direct them this way. I understand they're going to be upset because they know it's left-leaning. We said it. We're pro. But I, as an adoptee who has been told repeatedly that if it wasn't for someone choosing to give birth to me and not abort me, am pro-choice every day, all day.
Send them our way. Oh, yeah. I feel like, Samantha, first of all, thank you so much for being so open and sharing that, because it is traumatizing and just triggering, and you've been in this world for so long. But also, I think you should pick any topic that makes you very happy. And have a happiness moment.
All right, we'll come up with the happiness. You know I'll do well with that. We do want to do a follow-up episode about a check-in because, yes, this is we're ending it on a very emotionally ramped-up moment, but we've gotten a little long on our Monday mini, obviously. Yeah. But it's something that was super important for me to address because I do not want to be weaponized for a rhetoric that is causing harm and taking away people's rights.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of this whole thing is about that, about weaponizing children. Ooh. But yes, we are going to have a follow-up. I'm sure we'll have more content about this in the future. And listeners from in the U.S. or around the world, if you have any thoughts about this and, you know, what's happening in the U.S. specifically, but also around the world, because we know it's not just in the U.S. kind of stuff is happening. Please let us know. You can email us at stuffmediamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram at @StuffMomNeverToldYou. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Christina.
Thank you, Christina.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff Mom Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.